before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams compare. He is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine.
I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine.
I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Safe forever I shall be. He is mine.
Through God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there.
We will praise the perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share.
He is mine.
Beyond all measure, he is mine.
I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Safe forever I shall be. He is mine.
I have
pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Forever I shall be.
He is mine.
He is mine.
Not my pants. Those are some kind words that you had to say to me about me. Brother Angel, thank you very much. You didn't go long enough and far enough, but I appreciate that. I don't get nice things said that much too often. I'll get a copy of that tape. But if you want to get your Bibles, we're going to look at Romans chapter 13. Look at a couple of verses from there. You know, Brother Angel, you could have put me between a couple of guys not quite so good. Two giants. Your husband, man, he's a genius, theologically, probably other ways too. Tremendous sermon this morning, the other evening. Brother Green on the other end. I feel like those two fellas here on the left-hand side with that tall guy right there, you know, kind of got cut off short a little bit. Kind of like a little pygmy or something, but... I really do appreciate being here, Brother Coral. Thank you for letting me be here. It's a tremendous ministry. Pray for Brother Coral all the time. Brother Angel, pray for you all the time. Nobody knows what probably pastors go through, evangelists go through, except the pastor and evangelist. But they need our prayers, and thank God for this ministry. The most prolific writer of the 21st century of Christian books. It amazes me when he comes to our place. We can't just put out a little 6-foot table. We got to put out 2 big 8-foot tables to handle all the books. And just amazing to me how they're able to come out. And he almost preaches a book in a sermon in some ways. I can see how good he is to be able to put it on paper. An editor, God has used him massively over the years. And thank God for this ministry, right here, a lighthouse for the rest of us preachers up and down Illinois. And Brother Angel, God bless you. Thank you. You know, when I think about what's going on, my illustration of thought comes to a beehive. You think about bees coming to, you know, assemble. You know, they go out, they gather in, they bring back, they go into their hive. That's a very special place. They make honey in that hive. And honey is good for everybody in there. Everybody benefits from it. Everybody gets energy from it to go out and do their work. You know, what a picture God gives us in a beehive. And or it may have been an illustration guys have used, but you mess with a beehive, they're going to mess with you. And you think about that. You go up there and you start beating around on that hive, you're in trouble. You know, even though they may be gentle and they want to leave you alone if you'll leave them alone, but when you think about what's going on, the idea of the pushback, you know, the idea of the importance of protecting that hive, you know, how this really applies, and God shows that to us in nature. It's His assembly, and we're called to look over it. And I'm with you guys on what you've been saying. With fear and trembling, I'm with you guys. And even before I heard some of the things I heard, we had planned to open up the first Sunday in next month. And what's going to happen? I don't know. I look pretty good at orange. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we'll see what happens. Who shows up, shows up. God's work is so important, and I believe it ought, it's essential. It's essential. Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, we've got to have the Word of God. That's going to feed our soul. I like what you said last night to today. We've got to have spiritual food. And there's something unique and special. God designed it, embodied in the assembly. And we've got to come together. It's just the way it is. You cannot be a Christian, you can't be a Christian, let alone a good Christian, if you're just not a part of church. It's just absolutely not possible. I want you to look with me, Romans chapter 13. If I get done early, I'd like to have Brother Coral sing, fill in the time. I'd love to hear it. And if you'll say yes, I'll get done early. I'll make sure I do. But here in Romans 13, notice what it says in verse number 11 and 12. It says, and that, comma, stop for a moment, think for a minute of what's going to be said, knowing the time, sometimes the comma is sort of like a little sila, knowing the time that now it is high time that we awake out of sleep. It was possible for a believer to be asleep spiritually. It happens too much. Apparently it happened here. And here we have Paul, through God's leading, to make a statement like this, and God wanting there to be an awareness that we've got to be awake spiritually. And if we're not awake spiritually, we are in real spiritual trouble. It says it's high time. High time? I think it's high time we be awake. I think the hour in which we live is a unique hour. I think, personally, I'm persuaded we're at the end of the church period. Personally, I'm persuaded that the Lord is on the horizon. Personally, I'm persuaded that He's on the precipice of being sent by the Father to come back and get the church. You know, I'm convinced about those sort of things. I believe we are in the end times. Now, I know that Paul felt like he was coming back in his day. But I feel like we're in the end of the end of the end of the end. And I very likely may go up without the dew of death settling on my soul. And I wouldn't mind that. But whatever God's will is, but I believe we're that close. Now, that's how I view it. And so it's high time that you awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The idea of stepping into heaven, the idea of actually seeing our faith materialized by sight, the idea that heaven is going to be soon to be walked into and experienced. And here's what's trying to be said here. We are, every one of us is one day closer. You know, we're just moving. The grains of sand in the hourglass at the top has fallen down into the bottom, both prophetically in time and in our own individual lives. And so every day we're getting closer. And so we want to be awake. We don't want to waste the opportunity God has given us in this life. is precious, it's wonderful, it's connected to eternity. And the will of God that He has for our life is our purpose, and to mess up that purpose is to actually have ruined the reason why He left you here after we were born again. That's an obvious thing, you know that, but it's still true. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Boy, let's walk in the light. Now, let me say, it's important that we be awake spiritually. You want to be a Christian. Those who are watching, you want to be a believer who is awake spiritually. Now, think about it with me. God governs this world with spiritual laws. I mean, it's a spiritual world that we live in. God governs the world with spiritual laws. Satan is very active, and he is a spiritual being. And he's laboring to keep us unspiritual. It is a spiritual battle. The will of God is a spiritual will. The Bible is a spiritual book. The issues of life are spiritual issues. Walking with God is a spiritual walk. If we hope to have future rewards, it'll be because we lived a spiritual life. Man, life, we want to be awake spiritually. Now, here's what happens when a Christian goes to sleep. Well, first of all, they have forgotten the blessings and the miracle of God's washing away their sin, of being rescued from a devil's prison and from an eternity in a devil's hell. They have forgotten the incredible, miraculous event of the new birth, of being freed, of having forgiveness. I mean, the most important event any of us will ever experience is our salvation experience. And they have forgotten the wonders of being forgiven, of being free, of being blessed of God's promise of eternal life. Not only that, but the philosophy of the world has influenced their thinking, the trends, the attitudes, the goals, the entertainment, the music, the lifestyle, the talk, the dress. All of it has been influenced by the world. When you're asleep as a Christian, all of those other things have awakened the flesh, and they begin to influence that individual's life. When you think about it, because of this, God's will is unappealing and possibly appalling. I remember back in the day, we got a couple saved, and they came to church. He got really excited, really was growing. The wife was coming along. They were young. And he was feeling like God was calling him into the ministry. Well, how exciting would that be for someone not only to get saved, but then also to feel a call into the ministry. And I got word back that the wife said, if you become a preacher, I'm going to divorce you. That's what she said, and she meant it. She was asleep spiritually. He was alive spiritually, awake spiritually. And how sad it is, just the last year I had his funeral. But how sad. And if you're not spiritually awake, then that kind of spirit and that kind of thought and that kind of work in the heart from the demonics is going to be active, and that's a sad thing, very sad. It was not only unappealing, it was appalling, the whole thought. And eventually, self-centeredness becomes the focus. And when that has been reached, it's at that point, Satan is sifting like wheat. You know, I wonder how many people in church are being sifted by the devil, and they don't even know it. Their spiritual life is nominal, for sure. They may come once a month or a couple times a month. But the truth is, they're really no force at all for God. Their light is basically out. And they are spiritually asleep. I mean, we got to wake up. I mean, the passage here says that our salvation is near. It's time to awake out of sleep. And we've got to come awake in that context. Now, here's what happens whenever a Christian wakes up spiritually. Number one, they are amazed at the love and the grace of God that brought their salvation. You know, I'm amazed concerning just the doctrine of God becoming a man. Well, that really reaches me. I'm amazed. The God, the Creator, became a man, became into this world, took on a body like we have. And the God became a man. And He went through the abuse that He would go through by the creation He had created. I'm amazed that He would come to this world in that fashion. I'm amazed that it was designed before the world was ever spoken to existence. I'm struck and stirred by the bigness of that. And I'm amazed that He would become then my substitute. I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed that He would suffer my hell so that I could have His wealth. I'm amazed by that. I'm stirred by that. And it awakens me to the joys of the whole event that was done for me and how much He loves me. And that helps me to want to love Him back more, but being spiritually awake, it helps us to be aware of those things, alert to those things, and awake to those things. And we are amazed. I'm amazed that He's going to come back after me Himself. You know, I hope I go up in the rapture, but I want you to know, people, you know, we sometimes say, well, I just can't wait for that event. But wait a minute, you think about it, He comes after people one by one and has been since time. And the truth of the matter is, I'm going to see the Lord probably in 10 or 12 years if I live long enough. Hey, I've reached 70. That struck me the other day, thinking about Psalms. I've reached 70. And for you, that seems like out there so far. But listen, you just turn around and you're going to be there before you know it. You know, I could still probably run this platform, but I need my breath and energy for the sermon, so I don't think I'll even show you. I can still. But what I'm saying is I'm going to see the Lord before long. I'm going to see heaven before long. You know, last year, my father, at 92, passed away, had his funeral. And it's incredible to me that Dad is walking in glory. You know, it's amazing to me. Mother passed away a couple of months ago. I did her funeral. Amazing to me what they're experiencing. What I'm saying is God's people need to be awake because there's a lot of things that if you're amazed about will bless your heart and will encourage you in a wonderful way. I'm amazed to see what God has done by way of handiwork in people's lives. I'm not what I used to be. You're not what you used to be. If you've allowed God to grow you, you are different. You're changed. We have folks in our church who, before they got saved, they would have never thought they'd ever be in church, ever thought they would be in the choir singing, never thought they would be in attendance on a faithful basis, never thought they would give a tithe to the church. I'm amazed at what God does when He gets hold of a piece of wood and begins to work something beautiful out of it. It's tremendous. It's amazing to me when we are awake. You think about that wonderful transfiguration, the privilege of Peter, James, and John being up on that mountain. And there they see the Lord transformed before them. The metamorphosis, the face became like sun. The garments glistened like lightning flashing up and down inside of it. And in the process of all of that, here comes Moses and Elijah. And you think about Moses and Elijah, and you think about Moses who's representing the law. You think about Elijah representing the prophets. You think about the combination of how much of the Old Testament is comprised of those two areas. And how both of them speak of the coming of the Savior and the salvation He will bring. And here we have these two fellows who are speaking to the Lord about His decease. No doubt possibly talking about the resurrection too, the whole thing. But it's interesting when you read how Peter and his two buddies had fallen asleep. It's incredible. They had fallen asleep. Now, when they woke up, they saw this, but that was ongoing. They should have never went to sleep. What was boring about what they were doing? And they went to sleep. And there in Luke 9, it says, when they were awake, they saw His glory. I mean, they had to awake. Spiritually, if you're not awake, you will never see the kind of glory of God operating in your life or in somebody else's life. You'll never see the glory that radiates out of this book. You know, it's almost like every page you turn, it's like lights are coming out. It's like fire bursts. It's like incredible stuff to see. And the Bible comes alive when you're alive spiritually. Incredible how important. And so when we are awake, we are not only amazed, but then we become aware much more of who we are in Christ. Hey, we're not like we used to be, lost in the devil's prison, in the devil's clutches, walking according to the course of this world. We're different now. Think about it. We are a child of the Father. Again, I'm struck with the amazement of that. Who am I? I have a heavenly Father who claims me as a son. That's big stuff, folks. That's the biggest potato in the patch. Come on. That's big stuff. That is wonderful. A child of God. A heavenly citizen who's not yet arrived, but I am promised to arrive safely. And I'm here in this world representing the Lord, and we become, when we're awake, we become aware of who we are, and we're heavenly citizens. I'm no longer an alien. I got my papers. I got my documentation. It's signed in the blood of the Lamb. It's called the New Testament. And folks, I've got my papers. I can prove I'm a child of the Father. Knowing who we are, a prisoner set free. I was in prison. Couldn't get out. Locked in there. Satan had his thumb on every one of his prisoners. And it was going to take the power of the Savior. And when he bruised him at Calvary, when he destroyed him at Calvary, Jesus had the authority to come and unlock that prison. He has the keys. And he unlocked that door, and he brought me out. If you don't mind, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 48. You mentioned that reference. I wonder if he's going to get my verse or not. But in Isaiah 48, take your Bible. Those of you that are watching, I hope you have your Bibles. Take your Bible. Look at Isaiah. Actually, it's Isaiah 49, next door. And you begin reading, you realize there's a lot of messianic expressions that are in this chapter. And we come to verse number 8. It's talking about the Savior in verse 8. It says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. When you hear the Lord open the door and say, come on out. He says, go forth to them that are in darkness. Show yourself. Come out of that dungeon. Come out of that place. You can come into the light. You can come into my security and safety and salvation. That's amazing to me. Then it says, they shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. The Lord becomes their shepherd. He's their Savior, then He becomes their shepherd. And according to the 23rd Psalm, He leads them in those places where we can feed on high places. And I say hallelujah. Amen. To become aware of who we are. Look back at chapter 42. We're in the neighborhood. Let's take a look at it. Look at Look at verse number 7 again, messianic. It goes on to say here in the same vein of the other passage, it says to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. He did that for us. And to know and be aware of who we are in Christ. Hey, think about it. We are kings and priests. And you begin to think about that. He's made us to be kings and priests right now. Yes, sir. See, what does that mean? Well, as a priest, I have access to the throne of grace. Amen. Direct access. As a king, I have authority from the king in this life. He's given us authority. And we have his empowerment. And we have his charge and authority to go with that charge and to serve him. And so we're kings and priests. Incredible. We're co-laborers, more than conquerors. We're called the very temple of God. Brother Green, I'm amazed again that God lives inside me. I am. I'm amazed. It's big. This whole thing is big. And that I'm called the house of God. And so we're not only, when we're spiritually awake, we're not only amazed, we're not only aware, but also we're able to be alert to the times. It's high time. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. We'll be people who know the times. I tell you what, these are unusual times. I've often wondered in my own heart if this corona situation is more of a spiritual event than we think, even though it may have been man-made or released or got out somehow. But for it to have reached 190 nations or so, I want to almost think it looks like a plague of God in judgment upon nations. I don't know. I really don't know. I wonder if we don't have just a little preview of what the tribulation plagues will be like and what one small thing can do to the world. And you think about those major events, how it's going to literally bring into absolute catastrophe and confusion. It's survival of the fittest. The horribleness of it. And I wonder if God is just simply saying, just by this, look, what's it going to be like to get a little bit of a picture? I don't know. I know that there are those who would take advantage of all those sorts of things. That's kind of like how the devil works. And I know there's positioning, and I know there's efforts to be able to get agendas into place. I'm sure that happens. But I just wonder if God's not trying to say, you know, America, how long has it been since I've heard preachers say America is due some judgment? I'm not sure where the abortion numbers are, if they've reached 60 million. We're getting close. Can God just stand back and do nothing? Is there a certain level of judgment? And as I study from the Old Testament, it looks to me like one of the things God does in the beginning of judgment is economics. Some plagues, trying to get attention, get people to look up. I'm just saying Christians need to be awake. I'm just saying we need to be alert to the times we're living in. And we need to decide how we're going to live and to get it settled and stop causing it to be like a little yo-yo in our hand, up and down it goes. Not only are we to be amazed when we're awake, we'll also be aware when we're spiritually awake. We'll also be alert to the things that are going on. We'll be able to have more of a ability to hear the Spirit of God, and we'll be able to see the warning signs of satanic activity. These men are almost visionary in some of the things they see and say. You know, I'm hearing all of this, and I'm saying to myself, wow, taking me a lot further than what I've went in my thoughts. But also, being spiritually awake will make us adamant on how we're going to live our life. You know, we need to have bulldog jaw muscles. You know, we need to have the kind of grit that says, come whatever is, I'm going to serve my Savior. I'm going to stand for Him. I want to stand where He is standing. And be adamant in our spirit how we're going to live the rest of our life. And to awake out of that slumber and that kind of sleeping spiritually that causes us to stumble through spiritually. And whenever we are that way, usually the flesh is the most awake part of our life. Remember about 2 in the morning, one early morning hour, I was really on cruise. I mean, the lights were really out. I was asleep. I mean, I was dead asleep. It was one of my best sleeps, apparently. And the phone rings. It's right there close. The phone rings. And, you know, I'm kind of trying to, you know, come out of it. And I can't come out of it, and it's ringing. And I say to my wife, I say, do I say hello or do I say goodbye? I couldn't figure out which it was, Brother Green. I didn't know what to do. And finally she says, just say hello. And so I picked it up and got awake, got going. I was able to communicate at that point. You know, there's so many Christians in pews that are in slumber. They may not be full-blown sleeping. But we've got to have our eyes, spiritual eyes open. We've got to have our heart open. And that's going to take the Spirit of God. God's got to wake us up. God's got to touch us. It's going to be a work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. But we've got to have ears. We've got to have a desire. We've got to have ears that are listening. And when God wakes you up, He wakes you up. And whenever you get woke up spiritually, there is great joys to be experienced. There's great peace to be had. There's great things to be seen. There's great glory to be brought into. And we become alert. We become aware. We become amazed. And that's what brings the spark and the excitement and the countenance to the Christian life that lets our light so shine. Hey, it's a spiritual world that we live in. And if we're not spiritually awake, we're going to be sifted to some degree by the wicked one. We're going to be diminished, subdued. We're going to be pretty much ineffective. We just sort of live out our life. And what a waste. To be on fire, to have some zeal, to be spiritually excited. You know, after these 70 years, I'm just as much or more excited, I think more excited, that I'm a child of God. Amen. That I'm on my way. That I know who's in charge. That I've got a wonderful shepherd who loves me to the degree that was demonstrated without my full understanding of it at Calvary. And that He's there standing beside me through it all. Let's be spiritually awake. Let's wake up and find out what God has for us to see and to experience and to do. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank You for everybody who has had an opportunity to see, hear, and be a part of this. Thank You, Lord, for the grace that we enjoy. Thank You for loving us with a love that, Lord, we're going to experience throughout all eternity. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be awake. Lord, help us not to want to be settled into slumber. Not able to really grasp it and understand and penetrate the light that is there to let us see things. To understand things. That'll take us places we otherwise would never be able to go. Lord, help us to be Your people. Who understand we are Your people and that we're here on a mission. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For a moment, we don't have a pianist at the moment, and that's all right. We don't have to have a piano. We don't have to have a come forward. But let's not lose the moment here. I believe we heard the message at this hour that God intended for us to hear. Are you awake? Are you awake at home? I don't mean physically awake. I mean, are you spiritually awake? What are the results of being spiritually awake? We're amazed. We're aware. We're alert. And I like that last point. We're adamant. May we come out of this time period spiritually awake. Father, thank you for the message we just heard. It spoke to my heart, challenged me. Thank you for the message previous on the subject of the assembly. We've heard Bible truth this morning, enough that will change us if we allow it. So, Holy Spirit of God, do the work in us. We are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So work in us, a work that will not soon be forgotten, that will end result in change for the better. And I'll thank you for it. Thank you for speaking to our hearts as you have, in Jesus' name. And amen. Everything you just saw and heard is why I love Dave Brown. That's it right there. And I think I'm good enough friends with him. I can say this. He knows my heart, knows what I mean. He talked about preaching between Brother Coral and Brother Green. We talked about that. Brother Bragg called it, what did you call it, Brother Bragg? The battle of the colors? Coral, brown, and green. Amen. We notice which one of those is the least masculine color. Coral, brown, and green. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. Yeah. Bragg's going to be ripped. He talked about preaching between Brother Coral and Brother Green. I get it. You know, he's probably not as nationally known as Dennis Coral and Tim Green. And he's probably not as nationally traveled as Dennis Coral and Tim Green. But for you young boys especially, he didn't come in here and try to be anybody different than Dave Brown. That's what he's been for 43 years. You know, and I get a little weary of this little statement, comfortable in my own skin. And that's kind of what everybody's, is that, you know, that's me. What are you doing? But in a sense, that's what you, he's a God-called man. He is who he is. His personality is what it is. And God has used him. And used him this morning. He didn't have to come in here and be anybody different for God to use him. And that's what I love about him. He's not going to be anybody but himself. And God's hand is on him. And brought a great message, a timely message for us this morning.